lights out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds off the back of what is now known as the Sao Paulo Grand Prix in Brazil. An interesting race weekend. Lots of really interesting stuff happened this weekend that we need to talk about. The Mercedes apparently is now an absolute rocket ship this weekend. It was unbelievable what Hamilton did. 25 pace grid penalties over the weekend. Lots of controversy to talk about as well, but a stunning drive, a world championship drive, but a confusing drive for me because I felt like they just come out of nowhere with that speed. They've gone from, you know, very much level pegging with the Red Bull, maybe slightly behind the Red Bull, to just miles ahead of the Red Bull. So very interesting weekend, I thought.
Yeah, they've made lots of changes in the week between Mexico and Brazil, certainly. And it's, you know, the whole weekend just left a bitter taste in my mouth, to be honest. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. Without a doubt, it was a world-class drive from Hamilton in qualifying when he put it on pole, then in the sprint race when he was demoted to the back of the grid and came through to finish in fifth, and then in the race itself when he started in 10th and won the race. You know, it was a classic drive, and I think probably one of the best driving weekends of any Formula One driver in history ever. You know, so let me get that out of the way. But I do have a massive problem with the Mercedes team. The actions of Toto Wolff this weekend just left a massive bitter taste in my mouth. He's just like a petulant, spoilt brat who expects everything to go his way, and when it doesn't, and when he's not winning, and when he's not on the front foot, he moans, he throws his toys out of the pram, and I just thought it was unprofessional, a bit disgusting, and just not very sportsmanlike. I just thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, playing a bit of devil's advocate, I completely get what you're saying. My two points of view on the back of that might be that, do you need to be a bit like that to be a winning team and to be a winning driver? Because we see this a lot from Hamilton as well. When it doesn't go Hamilton's way, you know, he throws his toys out the pram and he shouts at his engineer and he's not happy and he won't be interviewed and stuff. And you do see that a lot. Part of me thinks that's part of being a world champion team and a world champion driver. I think you have to be a little bit spoiled. You have to throw your toys out the pram a little bit. And I think you have to be, I think these kind of level of talents, they have that kind of brain that can produce these performances. But when it doesn't go their way, you're right. They throw their toys out the pram and they sulk a bit. We've seen it as well from Christian Horner, I feel like, in the past. I think when stuff doesn't go his way, he throws his toys out the pram a bit as well. Verstappen can be like that. I think Verstappen overall is a very chilled out, laid back driver, but he has his moments as well where he throws his toys at the pram. And there's a little part of me that thinks you just have to be like that, you know, in order to perform at this level and to be, you know, that much of a champion. I can name you drivers that you don't get that from. And it's people like Bottas who are solid number two drivers. You know, they don't have that sulky edge to them necessarily. Bottas occasionally gets a little bit moody, but it's very rare and he's very laid back. And I kind of think you need a bit of that. I know what you mean. I think it's got very heated between Christian and Toto. And I think it's almost borderline getting nasty, isn't it? Where they're kind of saying stuff in the press about each other that is getting kind of nasty. But it just reminds me of the Senna-Prost days and, you know, Hamilton-Rosberg. And, you know, Hamilton-Rosberg, you got to remember, these two fell out to the point that they wouldn't even talk to each other. They were going through engineers. You know, if they wanted to say something to one another, they would tell an engineer who would then go and tell the other driver. It got that bad within the team that they wouldn't even speak to each other. So this does happen. And I think, like you say, Mercedes have been on the back foot and they have, you know, they've sulked, and it is that whole thing of, well, they've made changes. How are they allowed to make changes? We're not allowed to make changes. They've put tape on their wing. Why can't we do this with our wing? But I get what you're saying. It's getting heated, isn't it, to say the least?
Yeah, I thought Hamilton over the weekend, despite the disqualification and the setbacks that he had, and you know, even towards the end of the race when he got a fine for undoing his seatbelts, I thought he was cool as a cucumber, unlike Hamilton, who has in the past, you know, thrown his toys out of the pram and had a bit of a wobble. I thought he was fairly cool. I thought, you know, obviously he enjoyed the driving because it was a fantastic drive. The problem I have is with Toto Wolff, and I actually thought Red Bull and Christian Horner were fairly cool this weekend, even though the Mercedes is lightning fast. And I just would love to know what they've done in 7 days to be behind the pace in Mexico, to be so on the pace in Brazil, and above the pace, if that makes any sense. I mean, during qualifying, or in the sprint race it was actually, Hamilton overtook Lando Norris on the start-finish straight and was 25 kilometres an hour faster than Norris on that straight. Now, effectively, Hamilton's got the new engine, we know that, but the same engine is in the back of the McLaren, and those speeds are just ridiculous. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. It was interesting at the start of the weekend that Red Bull went to speak to the FIA. This is after first practice. And we know that they asked the FIA to have a look at the rear wing and the Mercedes. Now, this is nothing to do, apparently, with the gap that was deemed to be illegal after they'd done the qualification, which is what they got disqualified for. This is something else, something fundamental with the rear wing that Red Bull had noticed after first practice. Now, we know the FIA have looked into it, and so far, nothing has been discovered. And when Christian Horner was interviewed after the sprint race, they said, "What do you think Mercedes are doing to make their car so fast?" And Christian said, "We know exactly what they're doing," but he wouldn't allude anymore. Now, I'm guessing this is because Red Bull haven't got enough evidence to go to the FIA. But my thinking is, if Mercedes are bending the rules or cheating, then it needs to be discovered, and discovered quickly, because the pace of that car is just, it's too unreal in my eyes to go from 7 days to being behind the pace to Brazil, where they are just unbelievably fast. And it's Hamilton's car, so something's not the same on Bottas's car. We know Hamilton's got the new power unit, but I think it's much more than that that is making the car as fast as it is.
Yeah, and like you say, the engine change, in my mind, an engine change doesn't change the performance that much, like you're saying. You know, the Red Bull have changed their engine. It didn't have that effect. It's going to add to it. It's going to make it better. And obviously, they're going to be able to drive the wheels off that car because they've got a brand new engine. But like you say, there's other stuff going on. Verstappen, of course, got the fine for looking at the wings. So was Verstappen looking, you know, he compared his wing. He saw him fiddling around with his wing. And then he went and did exactly the same thing on Hamilton's car, which he got the fine for, €50,000, I think it was. So he's obviously doing the same, you know, checking the flexibility of the wing or whatever it is. That's a different issue, like you're saying, of the DRS flap opening too far. But it does seem like they've done something to that wing. You know, is that wing more flexible now? Is it playing ball more? Is it just making the car drive better? It is. It seems like there's speed that's come out of nowhere. And like you're saying, just tremendous speed. And again, for the casual viewer, this is what I always think. Like, if you're a casual F1 viewer and you watch last race and then this race, it's confusing, isn't it? Because you're like, well, hang on. They were behind the Red Bulls there. You know, the track is different. Obviously, the temperature's slightly different. But does it make that much difference to the cars that, you know, they're that much slower or faster depending on the track? It is a weird one. I don't know if anybody's putting in any kind of complaints or any kind of, you know, like you say, if Red Bull know what they're doing, are Red Bull going to try and do the same thing? Are they going to try and expose what they're doing and try and get them disqualified? You know, the only thing I will say is, imagine if we get to the end of this season and they disqualify the Mercedes team or whatever, and the championship is decided like that. That would be a shame, I think, because I think we've had such an amazing battle this year. It's definitely going to go down as one of the vintage years that I can remember. And it would be a shame to end it that way. But yeah, there is something strange going on.
There definitely is. And it just makes me detest Mercedes a little bit. And I don't want to be like that. I want to be able to look back at the Brazil race and go, you know what, Hamilton, one of the best drivers that Formula One has ever seen. What a brilliant drive. What a brilliant comeback. But I just got this bitter taste in the back of my mouth. And I think it's something to do with Mercedes' tactics and their strategy. You know, we saw them in Mexico try to call the other team's bluffs by saying, you know, Lewis, plan A plus six, and then they brought him in the next lap. I hate all that stuff that Mercedes talk about when they do this double bluff stuff. You know, when they say, oh, we're not upgrading the car until the end of the year because we're concentrating on 2022. And then between Mexico and Brazil, they've got this amazing upgrade, which is making the car so much faster. They just lie all the time. And I came away on Sunday night going, I should have loved that. And I didn't enjoy the weekend at all. And I think it was because of, you know, Toto Wolff on the radio at the end of the sprint race saying, F them all. I just thought, how unprofessional are you? You know, there's young people watching this sport, and this is how you're behaving, and you're doing it in public. And then when Martin Brundle did his grid walk before the race, he was in conversation with the FIA on the grid, and he turned away, and Martin said, oh, you don't look very happy. He said, I'm not very happy at all, I'm not very happy, but this is not the place to do it. Then during the race, when Hamilton overtakes Verstappen, he stares straight down the barrel of the camera lens and points his finger. Afterwards, he says, "Oh, that was just a little gesture to the race director." I'm thinking, you need to grow up, mate.
Well, I can see it's rattled you.
Yeah, it has.
But no, I completely get what you're saying. And what's unusual about this, we've even said this previously on the podcast, where I've said Toto seems like the perfect type of manager, where he's always level-headed. He'll get angry, but he'll get rid of that quickly. And he tends to sort of have a chat with the drivers and smooth everything over. And they're very much, you know, we win as a team, we lose as a team mentality. And a lot of that does seem to have gone in the last couple of races. I don't know. It's like someone's pulled the pin out of Toto and just really angered him. And he is acting very differently. You know, are we seeing the real Toto Wolff now? Is this what he's like behind the scenes and we've never really seen this side to him? Is he just angry? Is he upset? Is he frustrated? I don't know what it is, but you're right. We are seeing a very different Toto the last kind of race or two. And it is interesting. I don't know what's going to happen from here on in, but all I do know is every time we do one of these podcasts, I'm like, well, I'm excited for next weekend because we're going to get more of the same again.
Yeah, that's true. You know, other drivers up and down the grid were praising Hamilton after Brazil. Lando Norris said, really, he should only be allowed three wheels on his car because he's in a different league to the rest of us. And I think you would probably agree with that. I mean, Hamilton's drive was just fantastic. I mean, I watched the onboard footage on F1 TV of Hamilton starting the main race on Sunday. And I watched it for the first six laps. And after six laps, he was in fourth place, I think. So, you know, the way he was overtaking, mostly on the start-finish straight, which is where he had the straight-line speed, was just unbelievable. And he's going to go on and do it again this weekend, although the track in Qatar is a MotoGP circuit, so it's going to be a little bit different because there are some fast corners. Only two corners, I think, which will promote overtaking this weekend, and a number of straights, but none of them that long. So it'll be interesting to see which car has the upper hand. But I'm just intrigued. I want to know what Mercedes have done to make that car faster. They're not saying anything. They keep saying, oh, it's the engine. It's not. The engine will help, of course. A new power unit will be a few tenths quicker than a used one. But they've definitely done something to the rear end of that car, and I'd love to know what it is. And I think all the teams up and down the grid would agree. They want to know what they've done. Red Bull obviously will be looking at their own car now in the 7 days between the two races to try and figure out how they can get more speed. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, Red Bull, of course, got Adrian Newey. So if anyone can do it and catch up, Red Bull can. I thought Ferrari had another great weekend as well. They're another team that they've been a bit sort of hit and miss this year, but they're slowly kind of getting there and they're slowly kind of building a bit of momentum and having some good, decent performances. I thought Carlos Sainz, I mean, another great weekend for him. I mean, he really has. He's coming to that team just almost level pegging with Charles Leclerc, isn't he? And I would have thought when they signed him, I thought that's a great signing for Ferrari and he's a great driver. But I would have thought that Charles Leclerc would have pretty much blown him away at first, particularly when he's, you know, not driven that car much. But he's been very, very evenly matched, I think, to Charles this year.
Yeah, he hit the ground running, didn't he? If you compare him to Daniel Ricciardo, who went to McLaren, Ricciardo had a bit of a torrid year trying to get used to the car, and Carlos Sainz just got in it from day one and performed and did really well. So I think definitely at Ferrari, we always expected Charles Leclerc was going to be driver number one and Carlos Sainz was going to be his wingman, but it hasn't worked out that way. I think they're definitely equal pegging in the order of things at Ferrari.
Yeah, and again, you know, very hit and miss weekend for a lot of the teams. We've had another driver announcement today. Giovinazzi is going to be leaving the Alfa Romeo team, so we weren't sure. I thought he's had some good race weekends and some bad race weekends, and a couple of times this season, I've thought I can see them retaining Giovinazzi here because, you know, he's not a bad driver. And quite often he was doing better than Kimi Raikkonen in the races. Yeah. Obviously, they've signed Bottas for next year as well as the number one driver. Kimi, as we know, is retiring. So the question mark was kind of on Giovinazzi. And they've got to the point now where they're the last team. They've announced a driver change today. And that's it now. As far as I know, the grid is all set for next year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Zhu Zhao, or however you pronounce it, the Chinese driver is going to replace him. I felt a bit sorry for Giovinazzi. I thought he'd proved himself fairly well in a mediocre car, you know, against Kimi Raikkonen, a former world champion. He out-qualified him for the entire season this year and last year. And I think, yeah, he's had some decent drives and some decent qualifications. So I was a bit disappointed for him. He's part of the Ferrari school, so he'll go back to the Ferrari team and will either end up doing simulated driving for them, test driving, or will go into a Ferrari World Series car.
Yeah, and like you say, you know, he's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of, you know, stuff that he can take to the Ferrari team. They might use him as a third driver, a reserve driver, that kind of thing. But yeah, I agree. You know, I thought he had a relatively good season. As I said to you before, you know, sometimes some races I thought, oh, he's not done enough here. He's not going to get re-signed. And there's other races I thought, you know what, he's done really well. He's, you know, level pegging with Kimi, he's doing well. And I thought they might re-sign him. So I was quite surprised. But they have decided to get rid of him for next year. So that is, like I say, the 2022 season set now. We've got all our drivers in place. We've got the rule changes coming in next year as well. And until we get to sort of early next year when they start testing the cars around January, February time, we're not going to know who's up there and who's not up there. But you got to assume that the big teams are all going to be up there. Your Ferraris, your McLarens, you know, your Mercedes and your Red Bulls, you've got to assume they're all going to be top four again. But who knows? Because we've had these rule changes before. You know, Mercedes is a great example. We've had these rule changes. You know, when the hybrid engines came in, Mercedes were just leaps and bounds above everybody else. And they've kind of held that position for the last, you know, 10 odd years, haven't they? And it might be the same again. We might get some massive rule changes and go, hello, changing of the guard. You know, Mercedes are now midfield. Who knows?
Yeah, I was looking actually at the some of the stats about overtaking because I thought, well, Hamilton's probably overtake, what, 20 cars across the race weekend, which is amazing. But I was looking at the season total for overtakes, and do you know who's got the most overtakes this season?
Vettel or Alonso would be my guesses.
Alonso, 140 overtakes before the Brazil Grand Prix. Which just shows you how much of a sterling driver Alonso is. I'm just hoping that the Alpine gets a really good boost going into the rule changes for next year because he could be a major threat to the top of the championship order because he's clearly driving out of his skin in a car that's not really performing brilliantly, but he's just a fantastic driver. His racecraft is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's mega. Did you, I think I sent it to you as well, actually, the clip of him. I think it was on the back of the sprint race and he says to his engineer, where did Hamilton finish? And they said he finished fifth and he just laughed as if to say, of course he did. He's brilliant. Yeah. And it was just a funny moment where he's like, oh, fifth. Okay, right. And it was, you know, this just this lovely moment of him going, man, can that guy not do anything?
I love the bit as well, more controversy for Mercedes, when they accuse Red Bull or Verstappen of trying to drive Hamilton off the track when he was trying to make his overtake, the FIA turned around and said, yeah, we haven't actually got the footage from his cockpit, so we can't tell which way his steering wheel was pointing, which I thought was a bit of irony there. I thought that, to me, that move was just really close head-to-head racing. You know, Verstappen wanting to risk everything to keep the lead, and Hamilton, I thought, was quite cool with it actually on the track because it could have been a collision. Hamilton anticipated it, moved out of the way. They both went wide. I thought it was good, close racing. Was it clean? No, definitely not. But it was the sort of thing we've come to expect from these two exceptional drivers in the heat of battle. I think those sort of things will crop up. Right through a season, and we're going to see it again before the end of the year as well.
Yeah, and again, like you say, you know, they didn't touch. There was no banging of wheels. It wasn't the cleanest of move on either of their behalves, but, you know, it was a racing thing, and I think you've kind of got to let that stuff go because the minute we start punishing things like that, we go, okay, now this is getting silly where, you know, drivers are going to be scared to run other drivers wide, which has always been a thing that's happened, you know, even in go-karting. If you've got someone behind you and you know they're behind you, of course you turn into the corner a little bit later and you give them less room. That's how it works. You know, that's how racing goes. So I think if you punish that kind of stuff, that's going to be a dangerous kind of precedent going forward. I thought Sergio did some great overtaking moves as well. And he, again, yeah. I know we mentioned it last week, he reckons he's driving that car more like Verstappen now. So he's kind of got to grips with the car because he's now driving using Verstappen's kind of style, which he thinks has made him a better driver. But, you know, I think he's much more on it in qualifying. I thought he had a great race as well. And I think it was Bottas, wasn't it? Bottas overtook him and then he overtook Bottas straight away. Yeah. And I was like, go on, son. You know, there were some great overtaking moves there. Some brilliant drives. And like you say, you can't take anything away from Hamilton. Whatever's going on with that car, that's another issue. But what an incredible. He didn't put a foot wrong all weekend. Yeah. Ironically, he did because he got fine after fine after fine. But what I mean is, as a driver, he recovered. You know, and they were saying at the start on Sky, you know, do you think Hamilton can win this race today? And everyone was like, I think he'll be on the podium. Not sure he can win it, but he'll be on the podium. And sure enough, look, he won, you know, and he is an incredible driver, some incredible overtakes. And you can't take anything away from Hamilton. If he's an 8-time world champion this year, it wouldn't surprise me. Equally, if Verstappen He's a first-time world champion this year. That wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time. We've got lots to talk about still, and we've got to preview the Qatar race. Let's get some stats from Nicky from At Lights Out. You can follow him on Twitter. He's got some amazing stats and facts for all the race weekends, and you can also follow him in between races when he comes up with some really good data. Here he is looking back on the Brazil Grand Prix and a little bit of a tease to this weekend in Qatar.
Hamilton takes the furthest back winner in Interlagos. Alonso is fastest in practice for the first time in 7 years, and Ricciardo's finishing streak comes to an end. Here are the top stats from the 2021 Brazilian Grand Prix weekend. Lewis Hamilton took the 101st victory of his Formula One career at the Brazilian Grand Prix, and became only the third driver to win 3 races at Interlagos. Hamilton won from 10th on the grid, which is the furthest back grid slot from which a race at Interlagos has been won. The previous record was 8th for Giancarlo Fisichella in 2003. This was also the first time since 2007 that the Brazilian Grand Prix was not won from the front row of the grid. Hamilton's victory is the 11th to be taken from 10th on the grid in Formula One history. Pierre Gasly was the last driver to win from this grid position, doing so at the 2020 Italian Grand Prix. Max Verstappen and Valtteri Bottas joined Hamilton on the podium. While Verstappen equaled Nico Rosberg's career tally of 57 podiums, Valtteri Bottas returned to the podium for the first time since his Turkish Grand Prix win. Bottas secured pole position at Interlagos in sprint qualifying. He recorded the 20th pole of his career, equaling Damon Hill for the 15th most poles in F1. Next up, Fernando Alonso, who was fastest in free practice 2. It's the first time he's been fastest in a practice session since topping free practice 3 at the 2014 Singapore Grand Prix with Ferrari. It was also the first time that the Enstone team has been fastest in a practice session since Romain Grosjean was fastest for Lotus at the 2013 Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. On the day that Daniel Ricciardo surpassed Nico Rosberg as the driver to have started the second most consecutive Grand Prix, Ricciardo failed to finish for the first time since last year's Styrian Grand Prix, ending the second longest finishing streak in Formula One history. Ricciardo had finished all of the last 34 races prior to the Brazilian Grand Prix. And finally, looking ahead to next weekend's Qatar Grand Prix, in which Qatar will become the 33rd country to have hosted a Formula One race. In the Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton could become the first driver to have won at 30 different circuits, and Carlos Sainz could equal the 7th longest finishing streak in F1. In terms of the championship, Max Verstappen will only avoid a final race title showdown if he outscores Hamilton by 14 points this weekend. If he does that, it would be mathematically possible for him to win the title in Saudi Arabia. If not, the title won't be decided until the final race of the year in Abu Dhabi.
Nice one, Nicky. You can follow him across the race weekends, of course, at Lights Out on Twitter. Always got some amazing stats and facts for us. And as you mentioned there, this weekend, of course, it's the, are we the second or the third of our triple header? This is the third race,
third,
isn't it,
yeah,
in a row? Yeah. So Qatar this weekend. It's a lovely time for us. 2 p.m. the Grand Prix starts. Build up on Sky starts at 12:30 in the afternoon. But it's a night race over there because I think 2 o'clock our time is, did you say 6 o'clock in Qatar?
Yeah, 6 o'clock. So it will, you know, the build up will be in twilight, and when the race starts, it'll just be going dark, just very similar to Bahrain, to be honest. And it's going to be interesting because it's a MotoGP circuit, Qatar. It's been there for about 10 years, and the MotoGP teams race there on an annual basis. Not much else goes on the track, so I'd imagine it's going to be dusty and rather green when they arrive. So Friday practice is going to be interesting. It's a typical MotoGP circuit too, so only 2 corners really on the circuit where you can expect some Formula One overtakes. There's only 2 sharp corners on the track, some sweeping bends and 3 straights, although they're not that long. But obviously the straights will suit the Mercedes with their raw power, as we saw in Brazil. And the twisty infield bits, I think, will probably suit Red Bull, who seem to be mastering downforce on slower corners. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And also, of course, you know, what have Red Bull been able to do to improve the performance of their car between Brazil and Qatar? Mercedes did it in 7 days. Can Red Bull?
Yeah, and it's going to be, like you said, another fascinating race. I feel like this is going to go down to the last race in the season. I just can't see this being sorted out in Saudi Arabia. And unless there's any major, you know, crashes or if anybody's off or there's no points scored by either of the top two. But I feel like this is going to go down to the wire. But it's going to be another fascinating weekend. Like you say, can Red Bull catch up? Can Mercedes stretch a lead even more? Will, you know, Lewis just win the next three races? He's continually breaking records, you know, as we heard there in the stats and facts. If he wins here, he's the first driver to win at 30 tracks, I think it was. You know, it's just incredible. He's just breaking records left, right and centre. And Verstappen is the young lion snapping at his heels. And it's been a vintage season already. And I can't wait for this next couple of races and for the end of this season.
We'll be back next week to review the Qatar Grand Prix. Enjoy it. Whatever happens, you know, there's going to be intrigue and drama this coming weekend.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.